Turn to Luke chapter 8. We'll continue a little bit off what Joe just said and what John was saying in a little bit. But first, a word in case there is somebody who's not saved here and thinks they're in a good condition. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. I'm going to read 14 verses, so bear with me, please. And they arrived at the country of Gerasenes, which was opposite of Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had demons for a long time, and who wore no clothes, neither abode in any houses, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him, out of the man. For often it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bonds, and was driven of the demon into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that they would allow them to enter into them, and he permitted them. And when the demons went out of the man and entered into the swine, the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went in and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found a man of whom the demons were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also who saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the demons was healed. The whole multitude of the country of Gerasenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the boat and returned. Now the man of whom the demons were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show what great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Both John and Joe, I think, alluded to salvation being needed for anyone who is here that is unsaved. And this invitation isn't because we enjoy ourselves with other Christians. It's not because we like to come to conferences and it's fun and we have something, because maybe you can get fun somewhere else. But it's because of your eternal condition. I'm not saying by any means that any of you are possessed by devils, demons, or if one of you is unsaved that you are possessed by a demon. But maybe if we just look at a few characteristics of this man that are true of you, whether you believe it or not. Here in Luke, although Luke is usually about details, we miss some of the details of this man, but we see that he was kept bound in fetters and he would break the bonds and driven out of the demon into the wilderness in verse 29. But in Mark chapter 5, where we see the same story, 5 verse 4 explains what we just said. In verse 5, "And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones." And there's a really sad condition for somebody who's out without the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a hole in your heart, is what we often say. There's kids' songs from the Donut Man that talk about this, and they're wonderful songs. But it's true, there's an emptiness in your heart. And people go around and they try and fill it with all kinds of things. And we see the type of things that this man tried to fill it with. He went to the cemetery, I think, to the tombs, it says. In verse 27. And it's the same with us. We're with an unsaved person, that they would go to movies and malls and try to fill it with all kinds of things. And these things are of death. Maybe there's not anything wrong with the movies, but let's be serious. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Anything of this world is opposite that of God. You can justify it however you want. The question should not be what is wrong with that. It should be what is right with that. And then you will see that there's nothing good in this world. And the emptiness that we see in this man, whether you realize it or not, if you really search into your heart, you will see an emptiness yourself. That probably at night or something, you would find yourself in a sense, as this man was in the mountains crying, you find yourself crying, longing for something. You keep trying to fill it and fill it. Well, as John alluded to just look at the Lord Jesus. There's a hymn, I think, or a song that says, there's life in a look at the Lord Jesus, or life in a look at Jesus. And how true this is. You can see the many examples of this. When the Lord Jesus, we don't read of any testimony except from his parents, but he walked up to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist would look at this man and say, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. There was a woman who had five husbands, and she was with a sixth man, trying to fill herself with love her entire life, searching man after man, and man will always fail you, ladies. But the point is that she was searching time and time again through men to find love. And here was a man that could say, I have water that you will never thirst again. Filled her heart with love. The seventh man she met was the man, God is love. How wonderful. Life in a look at Jesus, that she would go back and tell the city of this man that could say everything about her, of all her history. And so I encourage you, even as John had said, there's life in look at Lord Jesus, to look at the Lord Jesus. Consider who he is. God overall, blessed forever. We celebrated 2 days ago in some way, although the Lord was probably not born on this day, we don't know. But we celebrated the birth of this man. God overall, blessed forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A bunch of verses later, and the Word became flesh. God considered you an unsaved person with an empty heart. In eternity past, he thought about you. He thought about filling your heart. He didn't think about the rest of us. Let's consider this for you individually. He thought about you and your wretched condition, your empty heart. And he thought about how he could fill it. And the only way he could fill it was to become a man, to become flesh. The Word became flesh. God overall, blessed forever, became flesh. And he died on that cross for you. He died on that cross so that your heart could be filled. It's the only way our heart can be filled is with the Lord Jesus. And we see the condition of this man, how bad it was and how much the Lord Jesus forgave him of. That when the demons left him, they went into a herd of swine. And if you consider, if we go back to the mall and all these things that we think are good, but they're really, there's nothing good in them. What is the worth of them? They go into swine and the swine kill themselves. This is what you're filling yourselves with. But in 1 John chapter 5, we see what the Lord Jesus is. I looked it up before, but I don't have the verses memorized. I should, but they're underlined, so I'll find it quick. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, we'll start with. And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What is in you if you're unsaved, if it were put into swine, would cause those swine to run into the river and perish? But there's life in the Lord Jesus. It's eternal life. And how wonderful if you tonight could look at your condition, the hole in your heart, the emptiness, the death in your heart, and see that the Lord Jesus was your substitute. He died for you to give you life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And for those of us who are saved, or for you, if you may, even tonight, become saved, we see a great example of a saved man and how he should conduct his life. This man, after he came naked, his shame was showing to everybody. We know that it's a shame for somebody to be naked, as we see from Genesis chapter, the very beginning, chapter 3 or 2. And so we know it's a shame, and he was in his shame. But when they come to see him, he was clothed, and everybody was afraid. And the Lord Jesus, following his Father's will, everything he did was according to the Father's will. It's time for him to leave, and this man comes and says, please, I don't know, we don't have exact wording, but I can imagine him saying, the people here are forcing you out of here. You're not welcome. Certainly, I'm going to be abused and picked on. Please take me with you. I can follow you. I can learn more about you. But, in a sense, verse 39, return to thine house and show what great things God hath done unto thee. He doesn't. We don't read of any challenge after this. There's no challenge. He had seen the Lord Jesus. he had life in the sun. And he went his way and published it throughout the whole city, that great things Jesus had done unto him. How wonderful this man. Went back. This 2 days, Tuesday, we're going to go back home. The beginning of this verse is going to be for us. And he went on his way. What's going to happen after that for us? If you get saved tonight, it's wonderful. And what's going to happen after that? And for those of us who are saved, we always like the assembling because it's like at the mountaintop. But when you go down the mountain, when we go on our way, what's going to happen? Are we going to publish it throughout the whole city? A city that didn't welcome our Savior? Cities that don't accept our Savior? And cities that certainly won't accept us? And publish it throughout the whole city, just like the woman at the well who went to the whole city, what great things Jesus had done for us. Tell the world of what he has done for us, how God has died for us, how the Word became flesh and has died for us and given us life, filled our hearts, filled any emptiness that's within us. And how wonderful his testimony. I mean, there is the testimony of Paul. There's a testimony of all these people in Scripture. But what this man did, when the Lord Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. It would be wonderful if we could get one soul saved and hear this man, a whole city, gladly receive the Lord Jesus Christ on account, I assume, of his testimony. Just a challenge for each one of us that when we would leave here, or even as we go on, because we don't know who's with us as far as being saved is concerned, if one soul could be saved, or how wonderful it would be if our whole town would gladly receive the Lord Jesus, but we take it one person at a time. But more importantly, for one that's not saved here, consider your estate. Consider what you truly are. You may be happy. You may have your sixth boyfriend or girlfriend and think that you found love this time. God is love. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fullness of love. He revealed his Father to everyone while here below. He's revealing himself to you now. He's revealing his character of love to you right now. And he's bidding you, he's begging you, knocking on your door, on the door of your heart, that he might grant to you this love, that you might understand this love. I beg you to accept him. Because he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Obviously, you're alive, so it's not talking about this physical life. It's talking about eternal life, where these demons will be with you, all these terrible things, eternal damnation. Just consider the emptiness of your heart and where that's going to get you. It killed a multitude of swine. The Son of God, in him is life. Amen.
Amen.